Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. On behalf of the Outreach Department of ICNA Sisters, I would like to introduce you to our Welcome Ramadan program, which is Health Tips in Ramadan and Making Good Choices. Ramadan is arriving, inshallah, and before we know, our most awaited guest of the year will be here. And we want to make sure that as host of this honored guest, we are ready. We are ready to welcome it. And how can we not be ready to welcome this guest, which brings countless blessings, which brings mercy and forgiveness and rest to our fatigued body and brings life to our dead heart? The infinite blessings of Ramadan are here for the taking, for those who choose to take it. You know, as cherished as Ramadan is, it deliberately disrupts our routine, our sleep, our habits, and most of all, it disrupts our diet. It forces us to take a closer look at our state. Not only spiritual weakness, but also our physical weakness is exposed in Ramadan. So this Ramadan, inshallah, let us not be from amongst the people that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam warned us about. He said, perhaps a fasting person will gain nothing from his fast but hunger and thirst, and perhaps the one who stands up at night for prayer will gain nothing but tiredness. May Allah not make us from them. Therefore, let's renew our intentions together and set high aspirations so that we exit this blessed month healthier, both in body and spirit. With that, I'll start my presentation on health tips in Ramadan, and I pray to Allah that we all will benefit from it and implement it. Ameen. Most of us believe Ramadan is all about taking care of the soul, which is true. But today we learned that our body and health matters too. This is a very important slide, and I do want everyone to pay attention to it because most of us take our health very casually. We all know that Islam teaches us a balanced way of life. It teaches us that our body and health are also precious blessings of Allah. Unfortunately, these are also the least appreciated and looked after blessings of Allah. You know, human beings are essentially made up of three basic parts: mind, body, and soul. And all three are connected. Well-being of one part affects the well-being of the remaining parts. Strength of the body affects the strength of the mind and soul, which is why Allah loves a strong believer. In a famous hadith, Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "The strong believer is better and more beloved to Allah than the weak believer, although both are good." What did he mean by a strong believer? What he meant was a believer with both strength of iman and strength in body. But why? Why did he include physical strength? Because having physical strength allows us to worship more, fast more, recite more, stand up in qiyam more, strive more, and so on. So you see, sound body results in sound ibadah. And the opposite is true as well. Physical weakness is undoubtedly one of the biggest obstacles in almost doing any act of ibadah, which is why Prophet of Allah taught us many supplications for seeking protection for the body. There is a dua we all know by heart and we recite thrice in the morning and evening. Allahumma afini fi badani, Allahumma afini fi samai, Allahumma afini fi basari, la ilaha illa ant. O Allah, make me healthy in my body. O Allah, preserve for me my hearing. O Allah, preserve for me my sight. There is none worthy of worship but you. So inshallah, make an extra effort this Ramadan to do as many duas as you can, asking Allah to protect and preserve your body. Another point. Our body has a right over us. And how do we know that? Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in a famous hadith, "Observe the fast sometimes and also leave it at other times. Stand up for prayer at night and also sleep at night." Your body has a right over you. Your eyes have a right over you and your spouse has a right over you. Therefore, it is our religious duty to look after our body. Why? Because our body has a right over us. Just like we could get in trouble for not giving the rights of others, similarly, we could get in trouble with Allah by not giving the rights of our own body. Another reason why you must take good care of the health is that without good health, you cannot reach the full potential of Ramadan. Think of it this way. All kinds of ibadat are at our disposal throughout the year, isn't it? But the same ibadat are up to 700 times more powerful, more potent, and more rewarding in Ramadan. But who will take advantage of that? Only those who are physically fit. Therefore, take care of your fitness, take care of your health, intensify your ibadah so that you can maximize your reward. And why wait? Why not start now? If you are already watching your diet and exercising, then why not renew your intention? Do it for the sake of Allah. You see, every ordinary action, when done with Iman and Ihtisab, may become a reason for forgiveness of our sins. Now that we have fixed our intention, let's work on fixing our meals. You know, when you are consuming less overall, it's important that what you consume is nutritious. Meal pre-planning sounds like a lot of work, isn't it? But trust me, the results will amaze you. Inshallah, over time, you will see that this habit of meal pre-planning will transcend all aspects of your life and you will become the best version of yourself. What does it have to do with taqwa? Well, remember, Ramadan is all about disciplining your nafs. And hunger is the first element of self-discipline. And if you can control your hunger, then you can pretty much control everything else. You can control all kinds of cravings and urges and desires. You become mindful of what you eat, how much you eat, when you eat, which is essentially what taqwa is. And what will be the first change that you will notice after pre-planning your meals with a conscience? That your diet is simpler and your portions become smaller. Over time, the capacity of your stomach will shrink and you will be content with less. Yes, you will be content with less. Now, do you see how it's all related to taqwa? A commonly asked question is, if my portions are smaller, then how come I gained weight in Ramadan? The reason is simple. The body goes into a conservation mode, which means that the metabolic rate becomes smaller and all the extra calories are stored. So where should we start? Let's look at the dietary recommendations in the Quran and Sunnah. Let's start with Quran first. In Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us to consume tayyib food. In verse 172, he says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu kulu min tayyibati ma razaqnakum. You see, over here, believers are mentioned. So what it means is the command of eating tayyib is fulfilling or perfecting our iman. It has been made a condition of our iman. Also, the fact that Allah is saying kulu, which is a command, therefore kulu min tayyibati is a command, not a choice. And since it's a command, that means in its following is a reward and in its disobedience is punishment. So what are tayyib foods? Often we confuse tayyib with halal. Halal means permissible and lawful, but tayyib is much more than halal. It means halal, clean, pure, pleasing, wholesome, nutritious, suitable, enjoyable, and at the same time, it must be harmless. Unfortunately, there are so many things we consume which are harmful and do not meet the standard of being tayyib. This Ramadan, inshallah, let's make a conscious effort to include tayyib and exclude everything which is not tayyib. Why is tayyib so important? Should we take this command to eat tayyib seriously? Answer is yes, and we will see why. There are so many verses in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has linked tayyib food and tayyib lifestyle with worship. If it is really Allah that you worship, then eat tayyib. Allah has linked it with iman, with shukr, with amal saleh. Allah has linked it to our obedience of our Prophet, and most importantly, to our eternal success. What more could we ask for? In addition to that, if you look at the first line, Allah says, eat tayyib, which I have provided for you, ma razaqnakum, which we have provided for you, is from me. And remember, when something is from Allah, it gives a sense of attachment to Allah. It gives a sense of that extra love and affection of Allah, and also it's a special honor for us. Remember, Allah is tayyib, and He only accepts tayyib. That is why tayyib matters. So you see, tayyib matters. Apparently, eating and drinking seems to be such a worldly thing, isn't it? But clearly, Allah is saying it has a deep connection to your ibadah. When you welcome tayyib, your heart welcomes ibadah, and it will generate an inner light and lead to acceptance of your du'as. When you develop a taste for tayyib, you will automatically develop a distaste for evil. And then sins will make you uncomfortable and you will develop a higher level of God consciousness, which is what taqwa is. You know, just like haram food is connected to haram deeds, similarly, tayyib food is connected to tayyib deeds. So I hope everyone is convinced now that we must take this matter seriously and switch to tayyib foods. And the opposite is also true. When we do not care about tayyib, when we do not follow a tayyib lifestyle which includes tayyib food, then the consequences are not good. Allah equates it to following the footsteps of shaitan. In a scary ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also equates it to transgression and oppression, which we all know is also often equated to kufr. So in matters of tayyib food choices, we must fear Allah because Allah is swift in hisab. So if you never realized the seriousness of this matter of taking tayyib food seriously, well, now you know it. So after looking at Quran, now let's check out Sunnah. Here I have included two dietary recommendations from our beloved Prophet. There is a famous hadith in which Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "The son of Adam cannot fill a vessel worse than his stomach, as it is enough for him to take a few bites to straighten his back." This is the famous hadith which includes a rule of thirds. What does it mean? It means that when you want to fill your stomach, fill a third of it with food, a third of it with drink, and the third of it with air. What does it mean in simple English? It means cut back on your portions. The rule of third must be implemented in this Ramadan. The rule of third must reflect in our meal planning this Ramadan. Second recommendation, adopt a sunnah. There are 12 foods which Prophet of Allah liked, and their benefits are well known. For example, Prophet of Allah liked milk the most out of all beverages, and he loved dates and barley. So inshallah, this Ramadan, if not all 12 items, then make an intention to adopt at least 3 of his favorite foods. Or you can combine milk, barley and dates and end up with another of his favorite meal, talbina. Remember, adopting a sunnah of the Prophet is not a small matter. In it is safety for us in this dunya, and in it is our salvation in the akhirah. So after learning from Quran and Sunnah, let's take recommendations from another blessing of Allah, which is science. Look at the diagram in the center of the slide. This represents a healthy meal. Imagine for a second this is your plate. There are 3 circles of different sizes from 3 different food groups. Notice the orange circle. It represents complex carbohydrates. Isn't it the largest of all the circles? Yes, the complex carbohydrates must make up the bulk of your suhoor. Why? Because complex carbohydrates, they are not digested right away, and it releases carbs slowly. As a result, you will not experience hypoglycemia and you will not feel hungry. Actually, you will feel full for a long time. Now let's look at the green circle. This represents high fiber foods, for example, dates, cereals, fruits, vegetables. This food group provides fibers and vitamins and minerals and also water. This also is a very important food group. Now look at the size of the blue circle, smallest circle. And what does it include? Eggs, cheese, yogurt, meat. Yes, all your favorite kebabs and qeema and nihari belongs to this group, the smallest group, even eggs. You know, it's kind of funny and true for most of us that our moms force fed us anda paratha all our life at suhoor time. And now we do the same to our kids. For most desi families, suhoor is incomplete without a fried egg. No doubt eggs are healthy, but remember, eggs alone will not sustain you throughout the day. Now let's look at our drink choices. What should you drink at suhoor? The top 3 choices are water, water, and water. Next comes milk. Make sure you include milk in your suhoor, even if it's just a sip seeking reward from Allah for adopting a sunnah. Now what about tea? Well, tea is a touchy topic. I know some of us cannot imagine our life without tea, and for some of us, our suhoor is only a cup of tea. Well, that's not good. Caffeine does not give you any calories. Also, it's a weak diuretic, meaning it will make you pee all day, and it could potentially make you dehydrated, especially if you're prone to dehydration or if you're taking water pills. Therefore, avoid all caffeinated beverages, inshallah, this Ramadan. I know it's going to be hard, and it will give you a withdrawal headache. So start now. Start cutting back on your caffeine. And what about coffee? Well, that is a big no-no as well. So this Ramadan, inshallah, let's make an intention to cut back on caffeine. So here is a slide with two famous suhoor items, and I will let you decide if it is tayyib or tradition. Healthy iftar. So now let's focus on our favorite meal of the day, our iftars, the highlight of our Ramadan, unfortunately. What's the correct way to break your fast? Is it this or something else? Don't suddenly start eating everything in sight when you are done fasting. You don't want to shock the system. Remember, Ramadan is about fasting, not feasting. Therefore, take it easy. Start with dates. Hydrate before you eat. Avoid deep fried foods. Go for a bowl of soup. Eat your greens and avoid sugary drinks. Yes, you heard me right. No more Ru Afza. Remember, what you consume at iftar, how much you consume at iftar, and how quickly you consume at iftar will impact your ibadah. The more you eat, the more fried food you eat, the more sugary drinks you drink, the more sluggish you will become after iftar. You know, blood flow gets redirected to stomach, and when you eat a lot and too quickly, a lot of blood flow gets directed to the stomach and your brain will feel it. That is why a lot of people become drowsy after a heavy iftar. So this slide has two common iftar items. Now I'll let you decide if it's tayyib or tradition. If you look at this slide, there are two main food pyramids, and the main difference between the pyramid on the left, which is what we recommend throughout the year, versus the one on the right, is only in the bottom tier of the pyramid, which is extra glasses of water. How many glasses? In the diagram you will see there are at least 8 glasses of water. So you see, the healthy diet food pyramid does not change much in Ramadan except for extra hydration. And what about our favorite pyramid in the middle? Well, most of you must be thinking, don't you dare take this from me. Well, I'm very hopeful that after this presentation, inshallah, you yourself will get rid of it or at least minimize it in this Ramadan. So let's recap. Secrets to a successful Ramadan. Never skip suhoor. No binge eating at iftar. Hydrate before you eat. At least 8 glasses of water must be consumed. Avoid caffeinated beverages. Avoid sugary drinks. Avoid deep fried foods and avoid processed foods. You know, processed foods have a lot of sodium, which will leave you thirsty all day. Similarly, daily low intensity walking must be included in your daily routine. Do not go to bed immediately after suhoor or iftar. Stretch your legs frequently while taking online classes. Avoid working out during fasting. Take short naps, and of course, expose yourself to daily fresh air. Now let's look at some of the medical benefits of fasting. Intermittent fasting is currently one of the world's most popular health and fitness trends. A lot of what we call intermittent fasting nowadays actually comes from observational research based on Ramadan practices. And finally, the scientists have come to the right conclusion, which Allah already concluded for us 1400 years ago, subhanallah. So yes, intermittent fasting of 14 to 16 hours every few days does wonders to our body. Some of the benefits are listed on the slide. You know, fasting is an important detoxificant. It breaks down, mobilizes, and eliminates stored toxins. Fasting also helps overcome addiction. It could be addiction of tobacco, caffeine, or any stimulant, chemical, or drug. Similarly, fasting is an anti-inflammatory. So if you suffer from an autoimmune condition which involves inflammation, try fasting. Fasting gives a maintenance break to your digestive system. Definitely, fasting helps regulate blood pressure and blood sugar. Do you know it also improves sleep? So yes, if you suffer from insomnia, try fasting. It improves the quality and intensifies the depth of sleep. Research has shown that fasting also slows down cognitive impairment. Yes, it can enhance mental acuity. So you see, fasting has so many benefits, and there is wisdom behind fasting. A very common question that we get asked is this: can I fast if I'm on medications? The answer is, it depends. It depends on a lot of factors. Therefore, before you decide to skip fast, please consult your doctor. You'll be surprised that fasting is compatible with most medical illnesses and most prescription medications. So if you are on prescription drug and you are intending to fast, then there are a few things you could do. First and foremost, check with your doctor if it's safe for you to go from dawn to sunset without medications? If he says yes, then ask him if he could adjust the timing of medicine so that all you have to do is take it twice a day at suhoor and iftar time. If he cannot adjust the timing of that particular medication, then ask him if he can switch it, substitute it with a different compound, different drug, which could be taken only once or twice a day. So you see, there are options for you. No, you don't have to skip your fast just because you take a blood pressure medication. But if your illness is such that 16 hours fasting is a hardship on you, then remember Allah, out of His extreme love and mercy, has exempted you from fasting and has given you an option to fast later. For example, you could make up your fast in winters when days are shorter. And if your condition is such that you cannot fast or you'll never be able to fast again, then give fidya. Do not drown yourself in guilt. Remember, your medical condition is in your control only up to some extent. Therefore, be patient. Take the allowance which Allah has given you and seek reward from Allah for your obedience and patience in this matter. A very commonly asked question is about injections, inhalers, and eye drops. Remember the rule. Any injectable which counts as nutrition is not allowed. That will invalidate your fast. For example, injections of vitamins, glucose drips, or any kind of parenteral nutrition, that will invalidate the fast and must not be taken. But if your injection is not a nutritive substance, for example, it's a life-saving drug that you must be on at the time of Ramadan and there's no way around it, then you may continue fasting while you're on that injectable. Same rule applies for prescription eye drops. Most of the eye drops enter the nasal passage and then your throat, and this is how it invalidates the fast. But if you are on an eye drop which you need for a serious painful eye condition which may threaten your vision during Ramadan, then you may continue that. And the same rule applies to inhalers. You must continue the maintenance inhalers for asthma if there are no other options to manage your disease. And if you have a really bad case of asthma and you know you will be using rescue inhalers throughout the day, several times a day, then it's better not to fast. Remember, one of the most important principles of our Sharia is preservation of human life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never put you in a life-threatening condition. Another important question which we are getting a lot lately is related to COVID vaccine. It is very likely that you will be called for your first or second dose of vaccine during Ramadan. Please go get it. It will not invalidate your fast according to all the Muslim scholars and jurists because it has no nutritional value. Secondly, it's safe to take vaccine while fasting. Our bodies are perfectly strong to deal with an inactivated virus even when we are fasting. Actually, the immune response is said to be twice as effective when people are fasting. So, what about common medical conditions in fasting? Well, in general, fasting is not associated with any adverse effects on your heart, lungs, diabetes, blood pressure, stomach, any of that. You know, in general, it's safe for patients with controlled blood pressure to fast, but it is recommended that they check with their doctors before Ramadan. Similarly, well-controlled type 2 diabetics who do not take insulin may be able to fast safely, but again, they must check with their doctors who can modify the dose of their drugs to avoid hypoglycemia. But if you're a diabetic who's on insulin, then you must not fast. It's not safe, you, and may Allah reward you for your patience. In general, fasting is not associated with any adverse effect on your heart, especially if you have only a mild heart condition, but again, check with your cardiologist first. Similarly, patients with stomach ailments, those who suffer from bloating, indigestion, and heartburn, you will do just fine with fasting. In most cases, you will actually feel better with fasting. All you should do is that eat in moderation at suhoor and iftar, and you must avoid foods which trigger your symptoms. What about COVID? If you get COVID infection in Ramadan, may Allah protect everyone, but if you do, then do not fast. Even if you feel all right, do not fast. You know, because a lot of symptoms of COVID, such as diarrhea, fast breathing from pneumonia, fever, and sweating, put COVID patients at a very high risk of dehydration, and their condition could deteriorate very fast in the setting of fasting. And if you're a COVID survivor and you are feeling all right, then it's perfectly okay to fast. But if you're a COVID survivor who is feeling long, who is experiencing long COVID symptoms such as shortness of breath or severe fatigue, then you must avoid fasting. What about pregnancy and breastfeeding? Well, the answer is most of the OBGYN will say no, but we know most of our sisters end up fasting anyway. So if you are going to fast, especially if it's your first trimester and you want to fast, make sure you pay extra attention to your calorie and hydration, and preferably skip fasting every few days. Do not fast consecutively. So how are you doing so far? You have been fasting consistently, alhamdulillah, the headaches and dehydration have passed. You are really beginning to take advantage of the blessings that Ramadan brings. Feeling great? Well, and then something happens to you. The worst thing that could happen to you during Ramadan, there it is, right on time, your period. Common responses to periods are, often sisters feel very angry. They sometimes feel guilty or ashamed, and some of them feel relieved. So what's the correct response to periods? You should feel blessed. Do not despair. Do not try to stop it. Do not curse it. Just say Alhamdulillah. You know, there are women who take birth control pills to stop it. Women should not do this, and they should remain on the cycle that Allah has decreed for them and for all the daughters of Adam al-Islam. And if a woman tries to stop the cycle, it will undoubtedly have a harmful effect on her body, on her physiology. And Prophet of Allah has said there should be neither harming nor reciprocating harm. Therefore, do not take birth control pills. How is your period a blessing of Allah? Well, it's from the perfect and complete wisdom of Allah. And remember, when you are asked to hold back from ritual prayer and ritual fasting in Ramadan, and when you do that with the intention of obeying Allah, it is considered an act of ibadah and you will be rewarded for it. And also, out of Allah's love and mercy, He does not want to make things difficult for you. Allah intends ease for you, and that is why He has exempted you from fasting while you are on your periods. What can you do when you're not fasting? You can replenish. Yes, you can replenish your body. You can eat and drink so that you feel nourished and rehydrated, at the same time rewarded by Allah. Remember, there is no piety in starving. Yes, in Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, turning your faces to east and west isn't all there is to righteousness. Similarly, the act of giving up food isn't all there to fasting. That is just the outward body of fasting, but the root of fasting is something else. It is obedience to Allah. So when Allah tells us that during your periods you should eat, then eat. Be obedient to Allah. Don't fall into this trap of false piety and starve yourself. Don't do that. Also, rest your body well, catch up in your sleep, and of course, replenish your freezer. There's something else you can do. You can rejuvenate your soul. Continue istighfar, continue adhkar, continue qiyam. In addition to that, you can do daily exercises. You can volunteer at the masjid, and you can cook for neighbors and friends. So what did we learn today? We learned that after iman, health is the best wealth. Therefore, put in your maximum effort this Ramadan, because a healthy Ramadan is a spiritual Ramadan. Since our health is included in our ni'mah and afiyah, therefore let's conclude with the dua of our beloved Prophet. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to supplicate, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min zawali ni'matika wa tahabbuli afiyatika wa fujaati niqmatika wa jami'i sakhatik. O Allah, I seek refuge in you against the declining of your favors, and health is included in favors, and passing of safety, and health is safety, the suddenness of your punishment, and all that which displeases you. Ameen. So before ending the presentation, I do want to make an announcement about our upcoming lectures on the journey through Quran. This year, inshallah, we will bring Quran to you in a very unique way. Instead of reviewing it chapter by chapter, we will do it theme by theme. Alhamdulillah, this year we have an amazing line of speakers, subhanallah, who will help us understand many important themes of the Quran, especially Tawheed, Risala, Akhirah, and how establishment of an ideal moral society is ultimately connected to our success both in this dunya and Akhirah. With this, I'll end my presentation. Central Outreach Department of ICNA Sisters wishes you a very healthy and happy Ramadan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.